Welcome to The Current, a podcast produced by We Stand for Energy. We Stand for Energy is a community that supports a reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy future for everyone, and is a project of EEI, the National Trade Association representing U.S. investor-owned electric companies. My name is Brad Viator, Vice President of External Affairs at EEI, and I am your host. Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're doing something a little different, and it's something that I hope becomes serial for us, which is highlighting some third-party partners that EEI works with and really giving these third-party partners The Current as a platform to tell us a little bit more about their organizations and about their work. And to kick it off, I think appropriately, we're having this discussion with ABE, the American Association of Blacks in Energy, which is a really important critical partner for EEI and really in the energy sector as a whole. And I've got the great fortune of being joined by Ralph Cleveland, the interim president and CEO of ABE. Ralph, welcome to The Current.
Thanks for having me. I very much appreciate it.
Let's get into it a little bit. Can you start by telling our listeners what ABE is and what your organization's mission is?
Certainly. So ABE was founded in 1977, so during the Carter administration, as energy became to the fore of that administration's effort, we recognized, or our founders recognized, that there weren't African Americans at the table as discussions were ongoing relative to energy policy and the effects of the activities in our sector to the environment, the impact to consumers and the like. And so the thing that we recognize, that our founders recognized, is that for our community, this is a really important topic. As you know, certainly more in our community pay a higher percentage of their income towards energy than in some other communities. The other thing is, we view as a critical part of our mission, really to support the aspiration of African Americans and other people of color in this energy sector, and also understand the impacts and the benefits that accrue to various communities and to our community for the energy sector and its activities. So we certainly want to continue to strive to be that voice. We take that as a very sacred responsibility to voice the aspirations and concerns of African Americans in the energy space and on energy policy. We've got 30 plus chapters around the nation, and they get involved with mentoring and scholarship, provision of scholarships and the like, to encourage the youth in our community to consider a career in the energy sector. But they also get involved with legislative issues at the state level as well, while we at the national office tend to focus on the administration and Congress from a policy standpoint. And really, we're there to educate and help everybody understand how these policies impacting our community. So that's who we are, how we're structured. We're a fairly small organization. We punch well above our weight. That's the way I would put it.
All right, Ralph, let's get into policy discussion. Can you tell me in the audience how ABE thinks about policy and how you do policy engagement?
Yeah, absolutely. And when we look at policy and the impact, particularly on the African-American community and communities more broadly, we look at it through three lenses, really. That first lens is, what's the economic impact? How is it affecting the ability of those who have aspirations to make a living in this industry? How does it impact their ability to do that? And are there things that we can share that will enhance the ability of our members to more fully engage and participate in this energy space? Doing what we can to create a more inclusive, a more resilient, and a more robust economy, that's important for us. The second lens is to really look at it from a consumer standpoint, and that is really to understand how these policies impact how much our community and other communities have to pay for access to energy. We see energy as basic goods and services for the necessity of improving the quality of life of anyone in any community. And so having access to affordable energy is really a critical issue, and we recognize it as such. Everyone that works in the energy sector, really the whole purpose for what we do every day is to provide access to affordable and reliable energy. really, we can't even move data around these days without sufficient energy. It affects the quality of life of so many. And so thinking about how you go about extending those goods and services at affordable rates and prices, and how things that people may view as fairly innocuous and might be a really good thing. I'll just give one example, and that is anything that would allow for concentration of cost to a utility where others are able to get off the grid, as an example. Who can afford to get off the grid with rooftop solar and the like. Those would certainly be good things. But by that same token, if you're leaving the grid and all of the investment that's been made in that grid, and those who can least afford it are the ones left on the grid to have to pay for it, then that creates an inequity. We just want to make sure everybody understands it. It doesn't mean that you don't encourage similar outcomes. You just have to think it through in a way that you don't leave those who can least afford it holding the bag, so to speak. The third area is how do the activities in the industry impact the environment? And do we have disproportionate impact to our community? In a lot of instances, that's been the case. So how do we go about identifying those issues and addressing them? How do we go about mitigating some of the impacts that might occur? And then how do we go about assuring that there is equity of benefit and there's not disproportionate adverse impacts to our community? Those are really the three lenses that we take a look at. A lot of times these things are unintended consequences that are occurring, and we just want to highlight those and find ways that we can mitigate them. That really is our mantra, if you will.
I think of you a lot with respect to your conferences, and you guys do a really excellent job of doing two things at once, having functional policy conversations, all the while connecting people from all over the country and really all over energy. I look forward to learning more about this at the upcoming conference next week, May 25th to the 27th, 2021, which will be taking place virtually. I'm interested to learn more about that, who some of the speakers are, and what you're trying to achieve.
We see that as a critical nexus, if you will, for our community to really be able to come together to learn more about the industry, to understand what's happening in the moment in the industry, and the role that we all need to play in it, no matter where you sit within the industry. And we've got our national conference coming up, virtual conference coming up next week, starts on Tuesday at noon, and it stretches through Thursday. We've been very ambitious in how we've structured the conference to get as much content in and engage as many various aspects of the energy sector as we can, and to present it from three primary perspectives: an industry perspective, a policy perspective, and a community perspective. We think we've got a terrific lineup for the virtual conference, and we're very much looking forward to it. And you're right, that has been for years now our signature event, and it is an opportunity not only to learn a great deal and to network, but the other thing that I would say, particularly for the in-person conference, and we're going to try to replicate that as much as we can virtually, but to have fun doing it. And we realize that a lot of the connecting, a lot of the networking comes from those shared experiences that allow us to have some real conversation, develop some real relationships. If you ever come to one, you'll be hooked. So I certainly would encourage your audience to participate in this year's virtual conference. One of our signature events is our legislative crossfire agenda items. We've got Michael Steele and Eddie Glaude Jr. who are going to participate in our legislative crossfire. A real opportunity to try to understand a little bit better the current policy landscape and what's happening to us politically. These are very interesting times, tumultuous in some instances. The title of our conference this year is Connecting the Dots, and we believe this is a really critical time to start connecting all the dots if we're going to make an impact and do our part to change some of the systemic and structural issues that we know our community faces. We're excited about it. And then next year, our first in-person conference in 3 years will be down in Tampa. So we're excited about that too.
It sounds great. I know I'm interested in getting into it. Hopefully this recording is something that we can share. We'll go ahead and post registration information on our website as well. The work that Abe does is critical, and you guys do a really amazing job. So looking forward to the conference, looking forward to the continued partnership, and looking forward to the continued success of Abe, Ralph. I think you run a great organization, and we wish you well as you pursue it. And frankly, we think you're an excellent partner of even outside the conference. And I know a lot of our discussion here is about the conference, but outside the conference, the work that you'll do in the interim on the policy front is huge. And that the conference is just a way to showcase some of that work in another set. So great job. Looking forward to participating in the conference myself next week.
Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to again share with your audience. And we certainly view ourselves as the right partner at the right time in the right place to have an impact. We think it's even more critical today, particularly with the level of polarization that can occur if we don't build an inclusive vision of the future. And so we certainly want to do our part to help build that shared vision.
Thank you, Ralph. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your time, and look forward to seeing you next week.
We hope you found this to be an informative 15 minutes, and we look forward to bringing you additional expert insights on energy policy. To learn more about EEI and the electric power industry, visit www.eei.org. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts by searching for The Current and We Stand for Energy.